T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It up and say that was a Stidham or Hoyer, whichever one threw the pick six, they're going to realize that wasn't his fault. I mean, Julian Edelman looked like he wasn't even into the game. He looked like, and again, in fairness to the Patriots, they jumped on a plane Monday morning to play a Monday night football game and traveled from New England to Kansas City in the new world of COVID-19.
Right. I mean, welcome seriously to the 2020 version of the NFL.
Yeah, right, man, right. You can't make all that stuff up. And so, you know, Cam Newton's home with COVID-19, waiting to get his days passed and get clearance to come back and play. I thought the Patriots defense was really good. And the offense, Brian Hoyer holding the ball back there, takes a sack before the half when you got three in the bank. Trying to get seven, trying to get a full touchdown and really hanging around the game. And he takes a sack. Clock runs out, no timeouts left, no way to stop it. And they leave that. So they really turned the ball over 5 times, because that was just a really, really stupid play for a guy that's been around for a long, long time. And so that was pretty bad. And in fairness, again, flying the day of a game. And not exactly a flight from Tampa to Miami or I mean, it was just a rough one.
But and wait, can we dive into this just a second more, because of the fact that without Cam Newton, this is what this team would have looked like this year. Like, if they didn't pick up Cam Newton and this Jarrett Stidham or Brian Hoyer error, this is what this team would have looked like without Cam Newton. And that is scary, because both those guys are really, they're just not starting quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
Well, the thing is, Cam's a lot better, especially for the offense that they set up, and they put a Cam Newton offense in there, as the Dolphins got to see. And listen, they still run the ball for a lot of yards, and they did again last night. You throw Cam Newton in there, and he's just clearly a better quarterback than the other two guys. And I know I don't need to say that, and you don't need to say, oh, yeah, because it's like it's pretty – it's.
Those two guys are just bad right now. Hoyer.
Well, they're just. I don't get the Hoyer thing. Always bringing Hoyer back. Stidham, I get. He's still a young guy, and they said he's Brady-like. And I know that. I don't get always bringing Hoyer back. But again, Belichick knows a hell of a lot more about his team than I do, sitting here in South Florida. So I don't want to pretend I know more, because I'm not even close when it comes to the Belichick's defense. By the way, still really good. Yep, they don't make mental mistakes. You might beat them. You might beat them physically, but like, that's how 11 guys play defense together. Now, I'm talking about a team that still gave up 19 points last night, but they got stuck. I mean, they had no chance, as bad as their offense was. And a pick six, nothing your defense can do on those. But I was just looking, and I was thinking of the Dolphins. They just play. They got one guy that's out of this world, and made some unbelievable plays last night. And we always talk about Stephon Gilmore. Made a tackle, stripped the ball. They get the ball back. Batted, defended. I mean, he is special. He's at a ridiculous level. But they just got a lot. I get what Brian Flores is trying to do. Every time I watch the defense, and that's the reason I'm sitting here talking about it, is those 11 guys, they play well. There's no real holes. There's nothing broken. I'm not saying you can't beat them, because obviously they went against that really fun to watch offense of the Kansas City Chiefs. But you just don't see mental mistakes. You don't see a guy wide open where you're going, ooh, somebody blew an assignment. And the Dolphins, you know, I just, as I'm watching that, and you're saying, who are those guys? When you say the Patriots defense, you say a lot of good players, right? You just say, I don't know about a real dominant guy, except for Stephon Gilmore.
Right.
Outside of that, you look at them, and there are a lot of good guys. Now, listen, you like to have a bunch of those guys. They've got some good defense alignment, especially in the middle. They've got some good players, but they just play. Like, if they have an assignment, and no matter what happens, they don't get fooled. They go to the flats if they're supposed to. You might catch it, but it's a three-yard gain. Not what happened to Seattle, where you catch a ball in the flats and you run 17 yards down the sideline before somebody tackles you because nobody's out there. And that led me to Eric Rowe yesterday, who said, yeah, man, we got breakdowns in communication right now. Every time there's movement, we're not all on the same page, which just – that's why you do, by the way. That's why you go in motion. That's what, one of the reasons you go in motion, besides to find out if it's zone or man-to-man. But I was going, wow, that's the way you play, man. That's why New England, who's 2-2, but with Cam, they got a chance to make the playoffs. They're going to have a chance. They're 2-2, and I get people going, well, this could be it. I mean, I don't know. That defense, to me, is still a top 5 or 6 defense. They pretty much, you know, without any help, God bless them, to give up 19 points with your offense doing nothing except turning the ball over, stupid plays. A veteran quarterback takes a sack when you got 3 on the board. They got screwed on a call. I mean, just absolutely screwed. Mahomes absolutely fumbled the ball, and they called it down, and it was just a bad call. I don't know why it wasn't reviewed. I'm not exactly sure what the whole thing what was going on there. But it was just, if you're wondering, that's how a defense looks and not guys running all over the field wide open. They just really, really well coached, which, again, I hear people going, Joe, really? Early in the morning you're saying Belichick's defense is really well coached? Really? You're better than that. You're better than that. Well, listen, Aaron Rodgers put on a show last night.
Right.
Man, I tell you, whatever motivated him when he said I had to go back and reevaluate myself, that's always a good one. I recently did one of those, like where you go back and you reevaluate, like either go to counseling or you just like do self reevaluation. But like, so he apparently did the reevaluation of himself where you look in the mirror and go, hey, I got to change some things and I'm getting sloppy and that's not what I used to do and I need to get back to that. And man, it's working, whatever he's doing, because it doesn't matter who he's throwing to. He throws 3 touchdowns to whoever that guy is. Whoever that guy is, somewhere between a tight end and a wide receiver-sized guy,
right.
Had 3 touchdowns last night.
Unbelievable.
And still got a special back. Still got one of the best backs, running back combination of guy that can run it and catch it out of the backfield. But they got a good team. One of the 4-0 teams still left a quarter of the way through the season. And
they
got
to be one of the biggest surprise 4-0 teams right now at this point.
I mean, he's been there, and they've been really good, Zach. Like, even last year, they won a lot of games. So,
right.
Are you surprised, really?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised they're 4-0. I am. I know that they're a good team. I know
that they win 12 games. They won 11 or 12 games last year. They won a bunch of games.
Uh-huh. But,
so, anyway, look, he's playing a lot better this year than he did last year. And I don't know if the weapons are that much better, but, boy, they're playing great. Then the news comes out about Bill O'Brien. I mean, you're going, man, the football just took over Monday here before we jump into the Marlins and Heat for tonight and everything going on. So for all those months that we sat around going, are we going to have sports? Are we just going to talk COVID-19 and have politicians come on the show and tell us mask on, mask off, beach closed, beach open, restaurant good, 50%, 20%, we're mad, you know, governor this, governor that. I mean, we got all kinds of things going on now, including if I would have told you Bill O'Brien was going to be the first head coach fired with what's going on in Atlanta and New York, you probably would have said no.
Yeah, no
odds chance. Weren't odds weren't good that the first guy was going to be Bill O'Brien, Mr. General Manager, head coach of the Texans. And, of course, now he's getting blasted for all the stuff that happened. And the owner comes out and the DeAndre Hopkins trade, which still scratching my head on that one. I mean, you die to get one of those guys. I don't know what happened there. And then somehow Laremy Tunsil becomes the highest paid tackle by like $5 million a year. And so they make that trade and give up a zillion picks. They have nothing next year, including the Dolphins will have their first and second picks in the draft.
Well, that was the big thing they were going over yesterday when they were talking about Bill O'Brien getting fired, the fact that whoever comes in here is coming into an empty cupboard to start off with. Because you're getting nothing in the draft at the beginning of that draft next year. And
this
really,
is why,
you know,
this is why, except for a really special situation, and Jimmy, I don't want you mad at me if you're up in the Keys this morning, but you're either a head coach or you're a GM, but that job right now, like Bill O'Brien needs to worry about the 53 guys on his team and X's and O's and that's a full-time job, man. That's a full-time job with all the egos, putting in the right plays, getting the guys in the right places, getting the right coaches, maintenance of all that stuff. And you decide that you want to be the general manager and decide what guys can make.
It's a lot.
Man, that those were Don Shula days. I remember Don Shula used to do that, and he finally stopped because the personalities were getting stronger. The players were really good. I still remember the Clayton and Duper thing going back and forth. And I used to sit back and watch that when those two were
so
like.
Surely you should negotiate the numbers with guys.
Well, he was really involved. He signed off on everything. I mean, he called me one. I mean, he called and said, listen, I'm not calling your agent. I'm calling you. What we offered is fair. Now get in here. And I go, okay, I'll be there in a minute.
No intimidation tactics.
No, I'm dead serious. Yeah, listen, that
that's
was
funny.
We're talking about 80,000 a year, in a second contract, jacked up. And but I mean, that's how
I can't imagine that phone call. Right?
So you know, once those guys find out that Coach Shula, I mean, they used to go to him, and some guys, you know, had big personalities. Like, look, you can say whatever you want. I mean, the case of Clayton and Duper, we're two of the best five receivers in football. I don't care who you want to throw in there. We know how good we are. It's just a matter of how many targets we each get. We do things a little bit differently. One's a little more athletic, and one's the fastest man in football. So, and I just think Coach Shula got tired of that stuff, finally turned it over and said, hey, I'll kind of oversee it, but it's on you, man. I don't want to deal with these guys. Forget the agents dealing with these guys bitching about their contracts, and they're all really good players. What am I supposed to tell them? They're not really good. So, I mean, it's one thing if, you know, if it's me. There's another if it's Clayton and Duper, man. And so you constantly got to give them the same contracts, right? I think they always had same incentives, same base salary.
Well, those guys talk. Can you imagine if one guy got more than the other or something happened and they told each other? That would have been a nightmare.
Well, listen, man, that was – those guys had an amazing relationship considering how good they were. And I'm not saying it was always perfect because if one guy got a lot more targets than the other, the guy that didn't get the targets wasn't happy. I mean, he just wasn't. He wasn't happy in a win or a loss, but the loss was a lot worse when they go back. And by the way, those guys know in their mind, every one of those receivers, they don't have to look at a stat sheet. They know how many times a guy throws them the ball. And so, like, Bill O'Brien trying to do that right now.
Yeah, not easy.
And he
not
just easy. Did some stupid stuff. Like, he signed guys and then cut them after 1 year on a new contract. And they're like, you know, he got emotional, the coach side, because he had the ability to, like, I'd like to cut that. Well, he didn't have to say that. He just went, I'm cutting them. And they're going, hey, we're going to take a big hit on this one. He goes, I don't want this bastard around here, you know. And so it just, he was terrible. And by the way, don't blame Bill O'Brien. It's kind of like don't blame the guy Adam Gase up with the Jets. Like, nobody put a gun to his head.
Right.
You guys are the ones. He just kept asking, and pretty much you put him in charge of everything with no proven track record like Bill O'Brien. And so you get that situation. But yeah, so he's gone. And then we got a strange one. And again, we got a huge basketball game tonight. Bam Adebayo's expected back. We'll have more on that a little bit later in the show. Yeah. Jimmy Magic, we'll see if he's got it rolling tonight. The Marlins and Braves, game one today at 2:08. Sandy Alcantara back on the mound has just been, he and the guy that pitches behind him have just been nasty good for two young guys. So they'll have that. We're going to have a fun day of playoff sports here in South Florida. We don't get to say that a lot, so we're going to be all over that today. But the other huge story that we have, and I'm just checking the time here because we got off to a – yeah, we got to go to break here. Are we good to go to break, or do I just keep rolling with everything going on, Woody? Huh?
We're good to go.
We're good to go on break. All right. Hey, listen, it's a little crazy. Woody's not talking in the back. We got demons in our ears at 6 o'clock this morning. So anyway, we got to come back. We got two of stuff. And it was a weird one yesterday from Coach Flores at his press conference that everybody's trying to figure out. My phone blew up all last night all over the country. And, like, I don't speak for Coach Flores. So I listened to it. Guys were playing it for me. And I'm like, look, I get it. We're going to have it for you and what you make of the Tua talk, and is it time to make the change after Fitzpatrick had a rough game or not? We're going to have that for you when we come back. I want to get everybody's take on it this morning and what it means going forward. It was a head scratcher for me. I'm just being very, very honest. I didn't get it. So I want you to listen to it. It's going to be coming up in just a moment, but first, I want to talk to you about sports-related injuries. I hate talking about them, man. I hate talking about them, but they've happened to me. They're going to happen to you if you're active, whether you play an individual sport, still playing team sports for your kids, for your family, if you're active, if you're a runner. Sooner or later, we all have to deal with a sports-related injury. And then you want to go to the best doctors in town. You do. You just want to go to the best. You want to go where you know that doctor has seen and fixed that injury over and over again. You want experience, and you want somebody that's got a great reputation. That's why it's so much fun to talk about one of the top sports medicine teams in all of South Florida, Miami Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Institute, better known as Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables. I always like to go, man, those doctors are good. When it comes to who do the pros take care of? Well, I'll tell you who they take care of at Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables. Enter Miami, the Miami Heat, Florida Panthers, and the Miami Dolphins. FIU, high schools, colleges, and professional athletes from all over the country come here for either a second opinion or for their surgeries to get healthy. That's what it's all about, man. Get you back playing the sports you love the most as quickly as possible. They have some of the top doctors in the country, some of the top specialists for every part of the body. You don't have to leave town if you want to go to the best. They've been there. Wait till you see the resume. Go, hey, doc, show me your resume. Now, sometimes they don't like to, you know, tell you when you're sitting there and you're looking and you see one of the top tennis players. Then you look over and you see one of the top Heat players and you see four of the Dolphin players all in there. And you're going, wow, I feel pretty good about this. Now I feel a lot better about getting my knee scoped. Hey, you can go through the same seeing the best doctors. That's what it's all about when you go to Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables. I want you to visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to make an appointment today. You're going to be going to the best doctors. You're going to feel really good. I don't care if you're in Dade, Broward, or Palm Beach County. Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables, one of the top sports medicine programs in the country.
He's checked all the boxes from a medical standpoint. He has. I think we just – look, I mean, the honest thing for me is if it was my kid and he had a serious injury like that, I wouldn't want his coach to be – in a rush to throw him in there because of media pressure or anything like that. So that's kind of how I approach this situation and really all situations with the players. They, you know, essentially they are my kids. So, you know, there's no one's going to pressure me into doing anything. And when we feel like he's ready to go, we'll put him in.
All right. That was Coach Flores yesterday, who was asked obviously about Tua Tagovailoa because of first of all, Justin Herbert is looking like he's going to be a really good quarterback with LA. Joe Burrow is going to be, once they get some players around him, mean, he is going to be really good. That's my early take on those two. So the guy in the middle we're waiting on, the guy that was taken fifth overall by the Miami Dolphins. And, of course, the media, by the way, very legit. A lot of people and a lot more, I think, jumped on the bandwagon. I'm on there of like, okay, it's been four games. You know, he's sitting in there. I know he missed a few days last week and he was sick, but what's happening going forward here? San Fran coming up. You're 1-3. Ryan has thrown four touchdowns and has five picks. He's lucky in that last game he didn't have, you know, that number's not at 7 or 8 right now. So I'm just, the coach comes out and instead of saying we don't know if he's quite ready mentally, it's getting closer, you know, he comes out and says we're worried about his physical risk for a guy that had a hip injury 10 and a half months ago, 11 months ago, and he's worried about that. And I'm like, okay, but he's a backup quarterback, so he's one hit away anyway from going in the game.
Correct.
So it was just kind of weird talking about, he's one of my kids, and if, you know, your kid goes through that, you want to hold on as long as possible. So is he not playing because you want more time for him to heal? It was just like I think Coach's going to have to come out and try that one again today. For me, I think because the articles were all over the board yesterday. And yes, I do agree. It looks like Ryan will start this week against San Francisco. I get the guys like Ryan. He's a great leader. I think the guys love Tua, too. This is not a Rosen deal. They like the way this guy works, interaction with the team. All that stuff to a, so I'm just kind of wondering, when he's going to play now.
Well, should we be concerned here, Joe? That's my question to you this morning, because something must be up for him not to be playing. And you get these weird answers from over there. Something has to be wrong, right? They keep saying he's healthy. So, you know,
right.
I mean, well, he's got to be healthy because he's a backup quarterback. Okay. Let's just do basics here. I mean, I know what the coach said yesterday, but I'm saying, Coach, listen, I appreciate, you know, you're looking out for his health and stuff, but he's one hit away. You can't hide him. There's only two active quarterbacks. So what are you saying here? Like, if he goes down, are you going to put Lynn Bowden in to be the Kentucky part-time? I mean, I'm not trying to be a smartass because ran a little wildcat. But no, you're going to put Tua in. Like, Tua's going to have to play and you're going to have to throw it, and he's going to run around. And, yeah, he's going to get hit for the first time. Somebody. Whether it's San Fran hits him for the first time. Everybody gets hit at quarterback. Like, even guys that have really nice protection throw the ball and get hit. So I just
is he not performing well in practice? Do they feel like he can't go out there and be successful right now? Like, I'm just trying to figure out what's going on here, Joe, because it seems like something's going on where this guy can't get out on the field. I mean, Fitzpatrick hasn't been good or consistent at all this season. The season at this point is almost lost, isn't it? I mean, you're a quarter of a way through, and you're not really, like, I don't see them getting back into contention unless they have a major turnaround. So, I don't understand what's happening with Tua right now. I mean, if he's not ready, he's not ready, Joe. If he's not showing it in practice. But, you know, these other rookie quarterbacks, one taken after him, one taken before him, look really good.
But his answer yesterday, Joe, I think that's the most questionable thing about the entire day yesterday, is the fact that he said, if I was his parents, I wouldn't throw him in here because of media pressure. Like, I don't think it's media pressure at this point. You're 1-3.
Well, he shouldn't cave to media pressure. That's fine.
But it has nothing to do with media pressure.
But like
Your
Joe said, though, the guy's the backup. So, like, if Fitzpatrick, who you know, goes over the middle on half the plays and doesn't slide, if he gets hit, so what, you're just going to throw him in there at that point and now he's healthy to play?
Let me tell you, first of all, the way Ryan Fitzpatrick plays, your ass ought to have that helmet on ready to go every play.
At all times, right.
Because nobody's more reckless at quarterback than Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are physical quarterbacks, and we've seen one in New England and Buffalo, no more physical than those two. But as far as just very seldom sliding and always going head first and dipping his shoulder and I mean, he took another hit from one of the best linebackers at the goal line the other day. And everybody just kind of played it off. And I was like, good God, man. You just got hit again by a 245-pound
right.
all-world linebacker. So you got like, you know, I'm sure Tua's going, damn, this old guy's fun to watch play, but, man, I got to keep it strapped up. Right. I can't be over drinking extra Kool-Aid, joking around with the next receiver up to go in on the next play because, you know, you don't know. But I just –
But why isn't there a different backup on the team then if you're getting this answer about it's his – you know, he treats him as his, one of his kids and he doesn't want to throw his kid out there too soon and this and that. Like, why isn't there a different backup suiting up for these games then?
Well, because they made a decision on those final cuts. They sat down with the doctors and they sat down with everybody and said, okay, he's ready to go. Let's get him. He's a backup. And listen, we were kind of wondering ourselves, like, okay, I mean, you don't get hit during camp. You don't get hit, you know, quarterbacks very seldom get hit during camp. They do a little bit in preseason, but, you know, guys like Aaron Rodgers and those guys, they don't even play preseason anymore. And if they do, they're handing the ball up. But they ain't getting hit. The guy goes, if I'm getting hit, I'm getting hit in a regular season game, not some practice game. So I just look at this Tua situation, and I know Justin Herbert got in because of a needle. He didn't go in because the guy got hurt. He got hurt because the doctor popped the lung. Yeah, with the friggin' xylocaine needle. Oh. That big, long needle went about a half an inch too deep and popped it. So but the Tua thing yesterday was really weird. Really, really weird. Now, Armando's got a little different take on this thing. Like, he's going, okay, don't be surprised if Tua gets ready to start. So he's reading into it because I got to tell you, man, when they finished yesterday, my phone absolutely blew up from guys that get all the sound bites and they're like, hey, did you hear? I said, well, I saw what everybody wrote, but no, I didn't. I said, they're going, man, that was really weird. He got into like, it's like a child and you don't throw your child out there after an injury like that. And I'm like, what? Like, if you're on a 53-man active roster, you ain't worried about injury because you need bodies. And so many guys get injured. Or COVID-19, health, COVID-19, right, look exactly. What happened to New England. So,
it was a weird answer by Flores yesterday.
So my take is after that, today's a day off, so I don't know if the coach talks on Tuesday. I think he might even get a break today. But tomorrow, coach is going to have to do a redo, in my opinion. Like, all right, let's I thought about all that stuff. And listen, it's not media pressure. Coach Flores, I got to tell you, man, that's not media pressure. I show you media pressure. That's not media pressure. That's the hottest name in the draft, hottest name we've ever drafted by far in the history of this franchise. People want to know, especially at the most important position and your veteran quarterback after a second struggling game, people want to know. The Tua thing doesn't go away. The Tua thing gets clicks, plus fans want to know. And I got to tell you, from a lot of guys I respect, they're like, okay, it's time. Okay.
Well, the worst part is when they seem like they're aggravated that they're getting questions about this guy. Like, he's the biggest athlete we have going in this town right now. People, like you said, Joe, they want to know. Like, this is the biggest story in our town as a single athlete.
Tua's not as big as Jimmy effing Butler right now.
If he played, Joe, finals. If they announced Tua was going to start.
Oh, no, that jumps right to the top. Right, that'll have Craig Minervini really upset with the Marlins, man. He'll be really upset they move him down anymore.
Poor Schappe.
Gosh darn.
Yeah,
man.
But it's all the media guys' fault. It's not not the Marlins who are always offering up their players because they do such a good job.
Hey, listen, you know what? I thought about it because this is usually a time of the year where Craig starts getting upset and the Marlins have a big win or something happens and he comes out. Of course, he's getting paid by the Marlins. But covering them, which, by the way, you know, you start talking about media coverage on something, you're getting paid by a team.
Doesn't look good.
I get paid by a team. I'm just telling you, as a guy's paid by the team.
We'll get you on Twitter, Joe. You can cry about how people don't cover the Dolphins in a nice way or they don't cover them enough or whatever.
I work with Craig for a long time at NBC, and I'm not gonna get it. It's a nice story.
But for him to come out and blast other media outlets, I Steve Shapiro came out and said that he's been trying to contact the Marlins. I could tell you firsthand, Joe, I have tried for the last, since the Marlins have gotten into the playoffs, actually throughout the entire season, but especially since the Marlins have gotten into the playoffs, I have attempted to have us cover that story by getting players, front office, whoever they would be willing to give us to come on the show, and they have not been responsive one bit. So that's why the Marlins aren't covered.
It's kind of a weird situation. We got to go to break. We just switched over to baseball from the Tua story. But the Marlins, the story's great story overall as a team. It's kind of like, who are these guys? Like, who are – I really haven't paid attention to you this year with everything going on. Like, I don't know if people – like, I know I'm going to watch today because it just happens to be a perfect time for empty nesters to sit around and watch games when you don't work in the afternoon. But it's going to take a back seat to a game four tonight for sure for people, you know, that are going to be watching that game tonight. Like, everybody's talking about the Heat right now. The Heat is – they're in the finals, and they won a game. Really shorthanded. One of the best stories in the NBA. That story, what Jimmy did, putting that team on his back. Right. So,
but before people start complaining about the Marlins don't get enough coverage down here, that is on the team, Joe. That's the reason why the Marlins get a lack of coverage, because they choose to have a lack of coverage.
Yeah. No, I agree. I'm just not.
We would have, Joe, if they would have called me up and said, hey, we'd love to get Don Mattingly on with you guys in the 8 o'clock hour today, we would have made room for him. Would have gotten them right on there right probably at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Smack dab in there, man.
I don't know, man.
It's their decision to not be covered. It's not that the news outlets or media outlets down here are not covering them.
Right. All right. Well, listen, let's go to break here. We got a lot more. We'll jump
the
more
truth
on this
shall set you free, Joe.
I just always laughed at, like, Craig, shut up.
I know.
Please,
he does it every
shut
year,
up.
Joe. Every
shut
year.
Shut up. He got into it with Adam Cooperstein. And
right.
Then it
right.
got, well, nobody knows who you are anyway, Adam. And it's like, What are you, fifth grade? Now
well,
you
he gets personal. That's
did he say that to Adam?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it got bad.
It got bad.
I personal. Work with both of them, like two little kids, man. And, you know, Coop's like, dude, really? Anyway.
Craig went back to his old WWF days.
Yeah. We used to play softball together. He wasn't a very good softball player either. Anyway, we got a lot of stuff going on here this morning. It's going to be a fun day to talk. Get everybody's take. 305-567-0560. And that was a weird one yesterday with Coach Flores.
Yeah.
Not to get away from that story. But right now, I want to talk to you about a really good story in Dade County. You're going, the Marlins are a good story. Talking about Chapman Partnership, man. I love talking about Chapman Partnership. You want to talk about somebody who's doing really good work and a lot of really good people involved to help the homeless. I love talking. They got two fantastic homeless facilities to do so much more than give somebody a bed and a bite to eat and go, hey, all right, now go hang out for the day. I'm talking about providing so many different wonderful things to help these people get back out on their feet and get back towards a self-sufficient life through comprehensive care. It really is from top to bottom, helping them find jobs, counseling, all the great things they're doing. So this month, Chapman Partnership is actually celebrating 25 years of service to South Florida. It's pretty cool, man. Part of their 25-year legacy has been the fact that they have helped more than 120,000 individuals experience homelessness, including 25,000 children have gone through the facility. And we have hundreds of kids right now. So listen, we're doing great things, operating two centers with 800 beds in Miami and Homestead. Chapman serves homeless community by providing comprehensive support program that includes housing and meals and health care and daycare and job training and placement, even babysitting for their kids while they're out finding jobs. I tell you, it's fantastic to see the whole process. I'd invite everybody that wants to get involved in a great cause to see what Chapman Partnership's doing. It is unbelievable. So please join me and WQM by supporting Chapman and their critical mission and our community online at chapmanpartnership.org. That's chapmanpartnership.org. And donate today. Homeless does not mean hopeless.
Check out Hollywood's blog at 560 WQAM every day after the show. Our biggest guest of the day and a blog written by our own Hollywood will be right after that as well every day on WQAM.com.
Yeah, if you get bored, just go to the website. If you get tired of us yapping and you think, you know, we're way out there. We completely understand. By the way, before we get rolling on a great time, a lot of stuff to get to here this morning right here in South Florida with two of our teams in the playoffs. Marlins getting set for game one against the Atlanta Braves and the Miami Heat, trying to even up the series tonight at 2-2 against the Lakers. I wanted to mention this. Big Lou at Carl's Barbershop, you know, he did our picks a year ago for us, and he passed away. Oh. And literally just cut my hair a couple weeks ago. And for people that have been to Carl's Barbershop in Weston, they had a funeral mass for him yesterday. And last night I went over there, and as you know, when you go to a barbershop in general anyway, it's a lot of sports, you know, and TVs everywhere. It looks like, you know, at Carl's Barbershop, there's TVs every angle. So you're, and it's all sports, right? They got them on whatever your sport, favorite sport. But we lost a big old sports fan, man, a big old personality over there, you know, old school thoughts and, you know, and constant sports trivia and hitting you with stuff. And so it's really, really weird, man. I'm going to miss that guy, and just nonstop from the time you sat in the chair, and I could tell he was slowing down on the cut so I wouldn't leave so we could just keep yapping and just a big sports fan, and we're going to miss Big Lou. So I wanted to do that. It just literally gave me a, like, hey, man, time before you get a haircut, I'm open, and you could go over there and get in. Right. But a real popular guy at Carl's Barbershop. We're gonna miss Big Lou, man. For all the people that go to the Carl's Barbershop in Weston, not to take away from the one in Davie, but the one in Weston where he was. So condolences to his family, who I met everybody yesterday, and everything else. So gonna miss Big Lou. Terrible picking games, Lou, but we love you, man. Just
they got a handicapper up top now. That's all.
Yeah, that's right, man. Yeah. That's right. Thanks. Yeah.
They got a handicapper up top, and I'll miss Big Lou. His picks were terrible, but I will miss Big Lou.
Yeah, and listen, man, he loved to gamble, and they were talking about love picking games and just
Mr. Hot Take. That's
he just
was,
loved.
Right?
You know what? He just loved being around the guys and talking sports and.
At the barbershop, Joe.
Action on the games, and right. It was really cool. Hey, the other story coming out here also yesterday, and I brought this up. Eric Rowe, the safety of the Miami Dolphins, was talking, and he was talking about breakdown in communication, which, you know, that's not good. I mean, that breakdown in communication, and so when you hear that and you just watch the game, is all the guys out in the flats that were catching the ball and running 10, 15 yards down the field, open gaps down the field, and guys just not all being kind of like some guys playing man, some guys playing zone, some guys see motion and get confused on the motion guy and they don't get the call out to the other guy. So after a big play, you got two guys look. We see that all the time. Two guys looking at each other and pointing fingers at each other.
Right.
And here's what Eric Rowe had to say.
Yeah, I mean, the big plays were really, it was nothing what, you know, kind of they had schematically or, you know, kind of like, you know, just talent-wise. I mean, obviously they're talented, but I mean, like, it was plays that we as a defense just had mental breakdown, kind of, you know, breakdown in coverage, breakdown in, you know, kind of our communication, those, you know, kind of that leads to them having, you know, big plays. And ultimately that's kind of what hurt us in the game.
Well, that's been going on, and you got away with it against Jacksonville because there was a guy wide open and Minshew just missed the throw. I mean, that's stuff's got to get,
no, right. that's not
stuff,
a good thing.
Like
right.
That stuff just can't happen
mental
in a professional
breakdowns?
Level. Like,
jeez,
like it's not like there's 11 rookies starting on defense. And they also got caught making some changes at the last second where the defense is – they had a different group of guys coming in, you know, in a different defensive package. And they came out late, and Russell Wilson just had his guys on the ball mixing it up. Sometimes they'd huddle. Sometimes they go to a quick next down. And they caught him. They just caught him out of position, or a guy running out that really didn't want to run out and cover the guy he had to cover. So it was just, I mean, that stuff, all that stuff is just, I mean, it's a month in now. And those two receivers they have are already, I guess now, do I have to say three receivers? Because their third guy also had another monster game. But like Seattle, those are the best players. And that stuff, for you to even have a chance, you at least got to line up on guys, right? If you line up and you know where you're supposed to be and you get beat, this is Shula. This is Shula stuff coming out again, but it hasn't changed. Like, I can take it if mentally we line up and we get beat physically, like that guy was better than you were on the play, I'm cool with that. He wasn't cool with it. But at least you got a chance that Coach Shula's putting a guy that he believes in on your guy, and it's a good matchup. But if you're motion is part of the NFL. The other thing is everybody goes in motion, right? There's constant motion in the NFL, moving guys around. We do it. Everybody does it. And if you can't make basic fundamental calls to make sure those guys are nowhere you're supposed to go, or who's got the flats. Oh, I thought it changed when the guy went in motion. And when I heard that, I went, yeah, man, did you guys have a vision of all the guys that have been open? And like when we go zone, we got guys, when they're guys running down the field, guys that are really good players, you're like, how can we leave a guy that good, that open?
That wide open, right.
So anyway, we got some things to clean up, man, after a quarter of the season. I know today's an off day.
And you thought the secondary would be one of the power structure of that defense, too. That's the problem. Big problem.
And listen, again, even on our rookie, and I know he's a rookie, and I want him to keep playing, Igben Ogbonnay, but my man needs to make sure he covers his guy, and don't try to be Sam Madison coming off guys because you've been out there. No, Sam could do that because he knew where the ball was going, and he'd bait you. You haven't been around long enough to bait anybody. They're throwing at you no matter. So don't be going off your guy and cheating up. You need to cover your guy. I don't care if the guy rolls out and he's on the other side and he decides to go for a drink. You go over and have a drink with him. Don't leave, please. Anyway, we got 7 o'clock hour coming up, man. A lot of stuff to get to here this morning. Boy, we don't get this a lot. Basketball, baseball, football, and your college football team gets to play the number one team in the country on the road. Man, that's pretty good stuff. That's not bad for the business right now. Not a bad way to go. We got a lot of stuff to get to. If you missed the Tua story that's going on, and a lot of people asked yesterday, is Tua Tagovailoa going to start? We're going to have that for you, 7 o'clock hour. Can Jimmy Butler have another amazing game to get this series tied up? And can Alcantara do it again, this time to the Braves, who had great success against the Marlins? What will that look like? We'll have all that stuff. Talk more about that coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. But right now, I want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers. First thing in the morning, man, never too early. And it's so much fun to talk about something that's really, really good. When you go to your South Florida Chevy dealers, whichever one's closest to you, man, I got to tell you, you're going to have a great experience. But listen, that ain't enough to get you in there. It's the products, man. It's the new cars, trucks, and SUVs that have everybody saying, listen, 2020 and 2021 products, this is the best by far it's ever been. When you look at great look, you look at great price, you look at space and all those things important to you, something you can afford every month, man, we got it. Safety features have never been better. They got it figured out. And hey, with the Chevy Open Road Sale event, it's on, baby, for you to go out and get yourself a great deal with some of the best looks you've ever seen. Let's face it, if it doesn't look good, you don't want it to start with, no matter what's on the inside. And we got it. We got the best looking Chevys of all time, baby, going right now. Whether it's the new 2021 Tahoe smoking hot over to the Silverado trucks, man. We got so many different trucks. Like they always tell me at Chevy, they go, Joe, we have the truck, whether it's a guy that just needs a little bit, or just a truck guy, or a guy that needs to work out of that truck 7 days a week, or a guy that just loves to have a truck and needs room for the whole family. We got the perfect Silverado truck to fit your lifestyle, man, at a great deal right now. Not to mention, now let's talk about the smaller SUVs. Midsize SUVs are hot, right? And I'll tell you what, the 2020 Traverse doesn't take a back seat to anybody. It's got a fantastic look, spacious enough to accommodate the big family, but doesn't compromise any of the style. Hey, as far as that goes, how about the 2020 Chevy Blazer? Smoking hot look. If you like the old Chevy Blazers, wait till you see the new one. Go down there and take a test drive. You're going to fall in love. And our smaller 2020 Equinox SUV, boy, I'll tell you what, we got the perfect one for you. Whatever you're looking for when it comes to safety, space, and a deal you can afford every month, well, we got it for you. Going right now in Dade, Broward, and Monroe County. Find new roads at your South Florida Chevy dealer today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.